Hey everyone, this is Stephan James, and welcome back to the Online Business Mastery Accelerator. Today we're going to dive into something called your Dream 100, how to identify, find, and attract your dream customers, which is really the goal that we all want to acquire more of in our businesses. So I'm really excited for today's session because the exercise and the process I'm going to guide you through, I think, is so important for every business owner. It's something that I've done many times for my business, but right now I've been going back through this during this time to really get more clarity on who my ideal customer is, who that dream customer is, and going deeper in ways that I never have before. Now, if you've been here on previous sessions, one thing that I've often recommended and suggested is that one of the best ways to really identify the best strategy for your business and really knowing how to attract and market, market and attract the customers that you want is you've got to get clarity on who they are first. If you don't know who your ideal customer is, it's going to be very difficult for you to be able to attract that person. It's kind of like a relationship. And I often recommend people that want to attract a man or woman into their life is to get clear on what you want. Because if you don't know what you want, how do you even know if it passes you by? So there's power in clarity. And once you really know who it is that you're trying to attract, then you can go deep in finding out what their goals are, their needs, their problems that you can help them solve, because that's our job as an entrepreneur, solve people's problems at a profit. But even more than that, we can identify where are they hanging out? Who already has your dream customers? Which websites do they go to? What YouTube channels do they follow? What podcasts do they listen to? Who do they follow on Facebook or Instagram? What keywords are they searching for in Google? When you get clarity on that, it actually becomes so much easier to then strategize and create a marketing plan. I think a lot of business owners, they create a product, but they don't realize that the product is only half the battle. The marketing is half, if not more important than the actual product itself. You could have an amazing product, as we all know, and you could put a lot into it, but if you know how to market it and attract people to you and get attention to people and all that, then you're not going to have much success with it. So I think a lot of people, they focus on the product. They're getting the product up, whether it's on Amazon, maybe they're writing a book, putting that up on Amazon, or creating a course or whatever it is, but they don't have a strategy and a plan on how to market it. And this is really the foundation of what you got to do to get clarity on who it is you're trying to attract that's going to be perfect for the product that you're selling. Ideally, someone that's actually looking for your product, not someone that you have to interrupt online and try to convince them why they need your product. That's an uphill battle, right? If you can instead find the warm and hot traffic, the leads of people that are out there looking, they identified and have a self-awareness that they have a problem, a goal, they're looking for you, your business, your product, your service, it's much easier to get in front of those people and sell them on your product. In fact, it doesn't really have to be much of a sale because they're already looking for you, rather than people that you're trying to get in front of that don't even know that they want your product or need your product, and then you have to try to convince them to do that. So one quick thing I want to share with you that's really important, a really important distinction you got to know when it comes to marketing. There's not all traffic, not all visitors that you get or views to your YouTube channel or whatever it is, not all of it's equal, okay? Not all of it's equal. Some of that traffic that you get is going to convert a lot higher than others, right? So just because you get 100 people that come to your website, 100 people that check out your Amazon listing, 100 people that follow you on YouTube or Instagram or Facebook, not all of those people are equal. Some of them are going to be more targeted than others. And that's why when you get clear on who that ideal customer is, some of them are going to convert a lot better. They're going to engage a lot more. They're going to be much more likely to buy your product or service and to reach out to you. And it's important to know that because some people, they might just kind of semi be on the fence. They're not really interested. Maybe they're following you, but they're not really going to ever become a customer of yours. And I know for me, it's a big difference. It's interesting when I survey people that follow me online or those that are on my email list versus my actual customers. The people that are my actual customers, when I survey them and find out who my actual customers are, there could be a difference between all the people that are here that are just following me. But if I didn't know who my ideal actual customer is, then it's hard to connect with that person over here to make sure that I can connect them with buying my product. So three types of traffic. There's cold traffic, warm traffic, and hot traffic. Okay. Cold, warm, and hot. Cold traffic are people that don't know who you are. They don't know you. They don't know your company. They don't know your brand. And they don't even necessarily even think or need your product. And if you try to get in front of those people, you're going to have a very hard time trying to convert them. Then there's warm traffic. Warm traffic are people that already know who you are. They've heard of your company, your brand, or maybe they've seen you before. They kind of like you. Or maybe they know about the product and are exploring and looking for a product like yours, or they have a problem. They have some sort of urgency and demand to try to solve this problem by looking for a solution. Maybe it's your product. And then hot traffic are people that they're ready to buy. Those are people that are your raving fans. They love your company. They love your brand. They love you. They have a high sense of urgency and wanting to check out what you have to offer, wanting to check out and buy your product. Okay. So cold, warm, and hot. Now, with that said, there's kind of two types of marketing, okay, online. There's interruption marketing and search marketing. Interruption marketing is when you're trying to interrupt someone online. Usually these are people that are on Facebook, Instagram, you know, maybe just kind of browsing YouTube videos or whatever it is. They're hanging out online. You know, they're on Facebook, interacting with their friends, scrolling through their feed, scrolling through their Instagram feed. And interruption marketing is when you're trying to interrupt them with what they're doing to try to hook them with your product, your offer, and who you are. So that would be running Facebook ads. Facebook ads to people that don't know who you are. And that's more cold traffic, right? Because now they're not looking for you. They don't know anything about you. And when that's the case, you have to be really good at hooking that person to grab their attention, to pay attention to your advertisement, and to want to learn more about your product. So that's kind of interruption marketing. That fits more in the cold traffic. And then there's search marketing. These are people that go to search engines. They go to Google, YouTube, even Facebook, you know, any search bar, even Amazon. When they're going to Amazon, when they're going to Google and they're typing in keywords, that's more of a warm or a hot source of traffic because they've raised their hand. They're looking for you. They're looking for a product. They're ready to buy. They're looking for solutions. And those are people that are a lot easier for you to convert. Okay. And that's why it's important to kind of identify and understand how you want to market. And I think there's benefits to both of those. And you can actually run Facebook ads, YouTube ads, to warm and hot traffic as well through retargeting. Okay. So it's not just all cold traffic. You could have people that, you know, already like, know, and trust you. They follow you and they've already been to your website. You can retarget them and interrupt them on Facebook or YouTube and try to bring them back to your product or to your service. So it's important to kind of know those distinctions. It's really powerful to really know that, because that's going to affect the strategy that you have when you're planning out your marketing. And I wanted to kind of plant that for you first. Now, I want to give some credit to a great book and resource that I'm going through right now. It's called Traffic Secrets. Russell Brunson, you guys know, is one of my mentors and someone I've had a chance to spend time with. He's the founder of ClickFunnels. I've been diving through this book, guys, and I've been doing internet marketing for over 10 years. I'm getting a lot from this. The Dream 100 of what I'm going to share with you, he didn't invent it, but he brings it up in this book. And I've known about it for a while now, and I thought, you know, he's brought it up again. Other people have shared this that he's learned it from. And so I want to walk you guys through this process. But I do recommend this book. It's a great resource for those who want to market their product and learn internet marketing skills. Now, one thing, though, that he mentioned in this book that I think is really valuable, and I've already known this, but the way he put it was really interesting. He said that every product, every service, and even every business fits within three different niches. Okay, one of three different niches, categories. Either health, wealth, or relationships. Okay, health, wealth, or relationships. Those are always the biggest niches out there. Everybody, you know, wants to improve those areas of their life. Now, within each of those niches, I want you to look at it this way. Those are pretty broad. Health is broad. Wealth is broad. Relationships is broad. But within that, there's sub-niches. Okay, there's a niche within a niche. There's a market, and then there's a sub-market when you go more narrow and more specific within that. And so, for example, health, what are all the sub-niches that would exist within health? Well, that would be losing fat, okay? Huge demand, multi-billion dollar industry. People want to look better. People want to feel better. People want to have more energy. People want to maybe pursue a different diet that can help their health and their well-being, whether it's vegan, vegetarian, keto, whatever it might be. People want to, they want to live longer. Okay, longevity, that's like a sub-niche within health. Anti-aging, people want to look better. You know, they want to buy products or learn more about how they can reduce wrinkles and even maybe do plastic surgery or Botox. Okay, so that's all within the health niche. Then there's wealth. Sub-niches within that would be figuring out how to make more money, how to further your career, how to develop leadership skills, management skills, how to better manage your money, how to pay off credit card debt, how to buy a home, get a mortgage, how to improve your credit rating, how to invest in real estate or stocks, or how to build your business, or how to learn marketing skills and sales skills. That's all within wealth, okay? And then there is relationships, okay? Relationships would be how to be more confident, how to attract a man or a woman into your life, how to find the one, how to get married, you know, how to get a date, how to go through a divorce, you know, in a peaceful way, how to connect with friends and how to network with people, how to develop social skills, how to reduce anxiety and fear so that people can connect with people better, how to be more intimate, how to open up with someone. Okay, that's all within the realm of relationships. Now, every product, like I said, fits within that, because those are three core desires that every human being has. Now, one thing that Russell posed in this book, though, he said, you know, some people say, well, I've got this product. It doesn't fit with any of those three categories. You know, what do I do then? And he said, you got to think deeper. You got to think deeper than that. So he gave an example of a Gillette razor blade. Okay, Gillette razor blade. Now, if I said a razor blade, what category would you guess that might fit into? Well, some people might say health, right? Maybe it's your health because, you know, your well-being might be better off for it. He actually said it's relationships. And the way that he knew that is Gillette knew who their dream customer was. They knew the core desires of the dream customer, the problem that they're solving by buying a Gillette razor blade. And so he used this example of a commercial. It's a commercial of Gillette, where a man, he's, you know, their ideal customer is a man in this case with the advertisement. And he is in his bathroom and he's shaving in the morning, you know, so he's shaving. And as he's shaving, you know, he's looking himself in the mirror and he's feeling his face. He's, you know, feeling more confident. His self-esteem is going up because before then he's, you know, more rugged and just woke up in the morning. And then he's getting dressed and he's looking good. He's being at his best. And he goes out and he goes on a date with a woman. And they have a great interaction and they get intimate and she's touching his face and it's smooth and they kiss. And that's the advertisement. So what Gillette was really marketing, what they were advertising was relationship. They were trying to communicate through their advertisement that by buying this product, it would help their ideal customer, a man, be more confident and be able to attract the opposite sex, to have a more pleasurable experience with them and enhance their relationship. And so it's really fascinating when you actually identify your niche in that way, when you look at things in that way and you get that clarity. So my question for you that I want to pose to you right now, and this I do want to mention, this is going to be a session today that's more interactive, that's more action-based, because I'm going to provide for you some exercises and thoughts. And I want you to get benefit here, not just to be passive. You know, it's great to learn and consume information, but if you don't apply it, you don't get any benefit from it. It's not going to lead to any results. So I want to make sure that you're taking action. And that means I'm going to ask you questions. And I recommend if you haven't been doing so already, have a journal, have something open in your computer, be taking notes, writing it down, brainstorming. This is your business. This is something that you got to take seriously and treat it as such, a serious thing, because it's going to provide that long-term income and finances and security that you want in your life. So my question for you, your business, your product, what does that fit within? Health, wealth, relationships. Okay, write down the answer to that right now. Health, wealth, relationships. What would be your ideal customer? What would they be buying your product for? To enhance their health in some way, their wealth, or their relationships? Now, some examples of this that I could give you guys as well. So some people might say, hey, you know what, Stefan, I'm selling a product on Amazon. It's a camping product, you know, it's a tent, you know, or it's some sort of camping device or backpack or something like that. And they say, You know, camping, yeah, that's a niche. But if you were to go broader than that, actually think about the person that's buying your product, what would that fit within? Why do people go camping? Okay, that's what you have to think about. What kind of desires do people have when they go camping? Well, most people, the ideal customer would be someone that most likely goes camping to enhance their relationships. They want to go camping with people. I mean, it's very, very rare, maybe a very small minority of people actually go camping by themselves, right? And even with that, maybe it's they want to connect with nature. They want to build a better relationship with themselves, connect with themselves and be out in nature, which is still part of relationships. But for most people, camping is an experience you do with your family, with your friends, and it's something, it's an opportunity for you to connect with other people. So in a lot of cases, that's a relationship niche, okay? That's what I want you to think about. Another example could be parenting. Let's say you're selling a product for moms or dads. Maybe it's one that helps the parent be a better parent, or it's a product for their baby. What niche would that be within? Why would that person be buying that product? What's that core desire that they have? Well, you could probably imagine relationships, right? Because they want to be a great parent. They want to connect with their child or with their family. And that's something that is a core desire that they have in that niche. Another one could be cooking. Okay, let's say you're selling a spatula or a pot or a pan or a simple product like that. That's why I'm giving you these examples. So you think and understand who that ideal customer is. What is their real deep down desire of not just why they're buying your product, but why they're cooking in general? You know, why are they cooking? Why do they cook? Why is that something that's important for them that they do? And yes, you could say it's a basic need to, you know, to be able to feed yourself and whatnot. And yeah, maybe that's, you know, that's definitely true, of course. But deeper than that, when you look at your ideal customer is going to be someone that really loves your product. They're going to buy your product versus anyone else's because of some sort of unique selling proposition, some way you differentiate yourself, some way they connect with your brand. Okay, and that's what you got to get clear on. It's not just the general person that's going to buy it, but that core dream customer that you would have. So why would someone really love and enjoy cooking? Well, probably for their health. You know, that's probably one big reason for that, because they want to cook, you know, foods that can enhance their health, the health of their family, and that well-being. Or in some cases, people cook to connect. And it's actually a form of status and relationship, because I know there's some cultures, for example, where they prepare a huge meal and they're cooking for their family, but it's actually an act of love. You know, for them, cooking for someone else and for their family is showing love for them. And they take extra time to prepare something great. And it's interesting when it comes to relationships, because human beings do a lot to elevate their status or to protect their status, because we're social creatures, and there's a hierarchy oftentimes of status that we're always comparing ourselves to other people with. And so people will do a lot to cook and provide for other people when it's a way to actually elevate their status. So it could be health or it could be relationships. But the interesting thing is you got to identify one. If you try to confuse people with health, wealth, relationships with your product, that will have a hard time. You want to pick one marketing message behind it. Now, once you got clarity on that, the next important thing that I want you to think about with your dream customer, the person that you want to attract, understand that people do things out of two reasons, okay? Human behavior is determined based on our need to avoid pain and our desire to gain pleasure, okay? The need to avoid pain and our desire to gain pleasure. Fundamentally, that's why we do what we do. And when it comes to your niche, when it comes to your ideal customer, you got to ask yourself, what pain are they trying to avoid right now in their life? What pain are they trying to avoid by buying your product? Okay, because in some way, shape, or form, they're buying it to avoid pain. Or what pleasure are they hoping to get and benefit from by buying your product? You know, there's a saying that goes that people buy for emotional reasons and then they justify it with logic. And so when you really understand that, what's that emotion, the ultimate benefit of what they're buying your product for, and you can provide and communicate that to them, then that's going to be a much more effective way for you to be able to attract through your marketing. So for example, if you identify, you know what, the pain that they're trying to avoid is complexity. You know, they've had other products or other experiences that have been too complex, that are too overwhelming for them, that's too stressful, leads to anxiety. And by buying your product, some of the features and benefits you provide for them is a solution to that, and that gives them more peace of mind, helps them avoid that pain, and it gives them the pleasure of simplicity and ease and comfort and convenience, right? Not having to worry about something breaking, which is a pain point for a lot of people. You know, or maybe, for example, they're in a position where they're in pain in their life. You know, maybe they're sick, or maybe they don't look good. They have low self-esteem, low confidence. They don't like the way they look in the mirror, or they don't have enough money. Knowing what where they are and the pain that's driving them of why they're buying your product, because ultimately, like I said, our job as an entrepreneur is to solve problems at a profit. When you know what the problems are, then our job is to help solve that for them by communicating how our product is a solution to their problems. Okay, so when you get clear on that, it's incredibly powerful. And then also getting clear on the benefits and the pleasure. So let me give you some examples of this. When it comes to health in general, and by the way, the question you want to ask yourself here too is the people that are buying your products, what are they thinking? What are they feeling? Okay, what are the thoughts and feelings? And right now we're just kind of guessing. As you build your audience and customers, the smart thing to do is then to survey them over time and get to know them more. And then you can clarify your dream customer a little bit more as you go. So what kind of things are they saying or thinking in their head? Because a big part of marketing is if you can enter into the conversation they're already having in their head, then you've got an instant connection with someone. Someone's going to be hooked and you're going to have their attention. And that's why headlines are so important. You know, if I communicate a headline and said, hey, are you struggling with this right now? Then the person's like, I am struggling with this right now. Boom, instant connection. I've got their attention because I entered into their mind and I spoke their language of what they're already saying and thinking in their head. Does that make sense? So let me give you some examples. Health. Here's just some pain points and some pleasure points of what they might be saying or thinking. I'm overweight and I don't feel comfortable in my clothes. I don't have energy and I feel tired all the time. I hate what I see when I look in the mirror. Now, that's important to know that. It's important to know if that's what people are thinking and your product might be different. That's why you have to really think about, you know, how it can relate a little bit more to your niche, I guess, but your dream customer. But it's important to know where they're at. Some of the benefits, some of the pleasure. These are just some simple examples. I want to get a six-pack abs. Pleasure. I want to be able to run a marathon. Pleasure. I want to eat healthier so I can get more energy. Pleasure. Okay. How about wealth? Pain. I hate my job and I want to fire my boss. I have no money saved and I'm scared I could lose my job. Everyone around me makes more money than I do. Pleasure. I want to buy my dream house or my dream car. I want to grow my company so I can have more impact. I want to learn leadership and grow my team. Relationships. Pain. I'm in a bad relationship and I don't know how to get out. I feel alone and I want to feel what love feels like again. I feel awkward when I'm around people I don't know. I want pleasure. I want more passion in my relationships. I want to spend more time with my spouse and kids. I want to meet more people through networking. Okay. So the exercise here for you, and I'm going to give you a minute to think of a few things right now, but this is something that you would want to do afterwards, after the session, spend more time. You don't have, you know, I've personally spent an hour or so doing this, okay, but for my business. So I encourage you to do the same and take this seriously and do this. But for right now, I want you to just kind of write down a few answers that show up for you. Answer this question. What is my ideal customer, my dream customer? What do they think and what do they say to themselves? Okay, what are they thinking? What are they saying to themselves? Think about the pain and the pleasure. And I'll give you a bit of time to do that. The pain and pleasure. What kind of thoughts do they have? What kind of feelings do they have? Okay, 20 more seconds or so. Ten more seconds. It's write down whatever comes up. It doesn't have to be perfect. You can refine it and improve it as time goes on. And wrap. Okay, so let me share with you a few that I wrote down. And I've got a whole long list. And for me, the interesting thing for me, you know, I have parts of my business in self-development, right? So I'm involved in health, wealth, relationships. But when I really look at my core products and my core funnels and offers, then I'm able to break things down more specifically with that. And so I don't just kind of go broad with this. I think, okay, I've got this course, this product, what category is that? Wealth, for example, I have some courses that teach people how to build a business, right? And I really thought, okay, well, what do people want? What's their desires? What kind of thoughts and feelings? What kind of pain are they avoiding? What kind of pleasure are they moving towards, right? And I made the list of all the things that would they say. So here's just a few. I mentioned a few already, but one is I can't afford to invest in myself. You know, and I say to people, invest in yourself, you know, buy, you know, a course, learn from others. But one thing they say to themselves is, I don't have the money. I can't afford to do that. I don't have enough time for the things that I want to do in my life. Okay, it's a big pain point for people. My life is hard and I struggle financially. I have no money saved and I'm scared I could lose my job. I don't feel like I'm good enough because I don't have enough money. I can't do the things I want and I feel like I'm missing out. I have to work all the time to be able to support myself and my family. I feel like I'm trapped and a slave to my boss and job. I'm afraid to take a risk because I might lose money and time. I'm afraid of failure because other people will judge me and I feel bad about myself. My friends and family don't understand me or my desires to be successful. I'm afraid I might get scammed and lose my money. I feel stress and anxiety each day around my job. I feel overwhelmed with everything. So I can go on and on with that. But you know, it's interesting to know that, isn't it? And by the way, some of these things come because I interact with my customers. Over time, you know, you pay attention to them and what they comment, what they say, what their concerns are, their thoughts are, and then you write it down, you add it to your list. Because that is helpful. When I communicate and if I know, okay, these are the common things that my dream customers say, then I can communicate in my marketing. I can communicate, hey, I know that you're probably overwhelmed right now in your life. Or, hey, you know, I know you're probably worried about your job and you're not happy and fulfilled by it. And here's a solution to that. And I can communicate with where they're at and understand where they are and then find ways to help solve them and communicate my product and service in a way that helps lead them into wanting to learn more about it. So here's some pleasure that I wrote down. I want to be my own boss. I want to be able to work from home and set my own schedule. I want to have the freedom to do what I want when I want. I want to be able to travel the world. I want to make money while I sleep, have passive income. I want to be happy and fulfilled each day. I want to be successful so I can have others perceive me as higher status. I want to prove to myself and others what I'm capable of. I want to buy nice clothes and things. I want to feel more confident and have higher self-esteem. I want to feel security in my life and not have to worry about money. I want to ensure my family doesn't have to worry about money. I want to feel peace of mind and be stress-free. And I can go on and on and on. So I did this as I'm sharing with you because I thought about the question that I posed to you guys and I got clear on that. And then I know the benefits of what they want and I can effectively communicate that in my business and my marketing. Okay, now a few other pieces I want to share with you. We're going to go a little bit deeper here and I'm going to break down a few more questions that I want you to write down. And I want you to spend time doing research on this, okay, to do research on this. This is really important. As I mentioned, you know, oftentimes people ask me, Stefan, here's my product. How should I market it? My answer is always, I don't know. I don't know your product. I don't know your dream customer. I don't know where they are and where they're hanging out. And so you're asking me, but I'd just be guessing. The smarter thing to do is for you to first, and what I would do if I was you, and if I had more time to actually help this person, I would, okay, who is that dream customer? Where are they hanging out online? Who's my competition? And what are they doing so I can model my competition because they've already paved the way. They've already figured it out. I can look to see what they're doing that's working. And if it's working for them, then that gives you an indicator how you should also market your product as well, whether it's on a blog, YouTube, funnels that they have set up, you know, they're running Amazon ads or they're, you know, finding influencers, whatever it might be, you can model success rather than just you guessing and trying to figure it out. And this is what part of this process is that I want to guide you through that will give you that clarity for your marketing moving forward. So here's questions you want to write down. And for each of these, I recommend you come up with at least 10 different answers for each. And ideally, you want to get to 100 total responses so it becomes your dream 100. First question, what are the top websites that my dream customers already go to? Okay, write that down. What are the top websites that my dream customers already go to? Now you could say, you know, they go to Amazon, they go to YouTube, they go to Facebook, they go to Instagram. Great, that might be true. But I want you to try to be more specific than that. And that's where it gets tricky, right? It gets really hard. And that's a great question you want to learn over time if you don't know the answer of right now. But by the way, here's one thing that's interesting about this. Most of us in our businesses, our dream customer can be us. I know for me, for example, I'm my dream customer because I was the person that went to Google and typed in how to make money online, that wanted to learn a morning ritual, that wanted to learn how to change my beliefs. I wanted to be more motivated. So in many ways, I look back at myself and I'm like, huh, what websites did I go to? What websites do I go to today? Well, if I go to them and maybe I'm part of my dream customer, maybe also my dream customers also go to those websites. They have similar thoughts, so whatever it is. And that's what's useful about some businesses when you are once the dream customer and you can relate to people in that way. Okay, so what are the top websites that they go to? Are there certain websites, like if your niche is cooking and you're selling a product on Amazon, a cooking product, okay, well, maybe they're going to some cooking websites or blogs or getting recipes or something of that nature that they're really into, okay? If they're really into health and fitness, are there certain main health websites and blogs and websites that they might go to related to that? If it's self-development, if it's wealth-related, whatever it is, try to think about what are the websites, and if you don't know what they are, you should do some searches online. That what would come up? What are some of the biggest websites in your industry, in your niche? It's very important to know that. And it might be worth going to those websites once in a while too, right? To actually really learn your niche and your market a little bit better. Number two, what forums or message boards do they participate in? Okay, that's also can be a little bit tricky too. So that means you gotta also identify what are the top message boards related to my niche. Go to Google, type in whatever your keyword is for your product, for your industry, type in that keyword plus message board or plus forum. See what the top ones are that they might be hanging out at. What are the Facebook groups that they engage in? Okay, what are the Facebook groups they engage in? I'll give you a minute just to write these things down. Maybe you've never thought of that before, right? But your market, think about it. Your dream customer, they're spending their time doing something. They're passionate about your niche. They're passionate about wanting to improve this part of their life or learn more about it or connect with other people. And there's communities that exist. And that can open up doors for you to create one as well. But you got to think, where are they already hanging out? You know, if you go to Facebook, you type in any keyword for any group, you're going to find a community of people. You know, you're going to find a community of moms that, you know, are passionate about being better moms. Or you're going to find a community of business owners that want to learn marketing, a community of people that are managers and they want to get better at that, or a community of people that are into filming and photography and videography, right? And they're going to have a group and a community around that. So you got to get clear, whatever your niche is, what groups are they hanging out in, and make a list, do research on this, and maybe even join some of the biggest ones, okay? Next, who are the influencers that they follow on Facebook? Okay, who are the influencers they follow on Facebook? You know, for me, my business, I know this. I know who they follow. I know they follow Tony Robbins, Grant Cardone, Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, a variety of these people, Brendan Burchard. You know, and depending on my niche, the topic, they might have different influencers that they might follow. But when you make a list of that, you know who the top people are that are communicating similar messaging to you. That becomes valuable because, by the way, what you're hoping that you're getting is this opens up not just a new strategy for you and your business that, hey, I noticed there's a group here. I could create a group like this. I could build a community of people. I already see there's thousands of people hanging out related to this topic in my niche. Why don't I create a group? And that could be a new marketing strategy for you. You can make it great and have a lot of success with that. But the other way you can look at it is, hey, here's thousands of people in this Facebook group. That's my core audience that are looking for my product or could use my product. How can I get in front of these people? How can I maybe reach out to the group owner and see if I can pay them to do an advertisement, to do a promotion, to work out some sort of collaboration with them? That's how you got to think as a marketer. Because again, when you know who your audience is, you got to figure out where they're hanging out, where they're congregating online, and then how can you get in front of them? Okay, how can you get in front of those people? So when you think of your Facebook, the Facebook influencers, okay, those are the people. Well, I can target those people through Facebook ads, right? If I know that this influencer on Facebook, he has my audience, I can target and run ads just to those people. Or maybe I could see what they're doing and I can learn from them and build a similar Facebook page as they are. And maybe people start following me and I can model my competition and learn from them. Or I can collaborate with them. If they're an influencer, I can send them my product, work out some sort of deal with them and try to incentivize them to promote it or to share it in front of all their followers. Okay, that's how you got to think as a marketer. Same thing with Instagram. Okay, who are the influencers they follow on Instagram? Okay, take note of that. Write that down too. That's an opportunity for you to get in front of those same people or to learn what they're doing and how they're marketing. So again, for each of those, you want to make a list of 10. If you don't know what that is, that's a problem. That concerns me with your business. I'm like, you're trying to build a successful business in this niche, but you don't even know who you're trying to reach and market to, and you don't even know your competition. That's not good. You know, you've got to make sure you know this stuff. What podcast do they listen to? For me, this was one I didn't know. I was like, yeah, what podcast? I kind of had some, I knew some podcasts, but I'm not a big podcast guy. So I opened up iTunes. I looked through all the different categories and there's different niches there. And I'm like, okay, who are the top business podcasts? Who are the top, you know, relationship podcasts, the self-development podcasts? Okay, interesting. And I started to check them out a little bit. I didn't know who they were. I looked them up. I listened to an episode. Getting more familiar with that, hey, opened up a new opportunity for me. You know, I can get in front of their audience. When you do this, you never again ever think, how do I market my product? It just gives you so many ideas. I could sponsor a podcast. I could try to be a guest on their podcast. I can try to pay them to promote it and do a mention and a shout out of my product on their podcast. I could start up a similar type of podcast in that market. Like, it just, the ideas become so endless when you get clear on this. What are the email newsletters that they're subscribed to? Okay. What are the email newsletters? That means going to the websites or competition. Do they have an email list? Can I subscribe to it as well and see what emails they're sending out and really learn from them that way? What blogs do they read? Okay. What blogs do they read? What are the top blogs related to your niche market? All of these influencers, blogs, websites, podcasts, they're trying to make money at the end of the day, just like you are, just like I am. Okay. They're trying to reach more people. They're trying to profit. They're trying to build their business. There's a lot of blogs that have followers that are your core demographic. And they have people that follow them and enjoy their content. And the blog wants to make more money. So you can partner with them. You could pay them money to run an advertisement. There's a lot of blogs that are small ones. You know, they've got a good audience though, but they're not making much money from it. Great opportunity for you to come in. It doesn't take a lot of money to advertise in their blog. You know, it can really provide a lot of great sales, a great return for you. So there's a lot of opportunity in this. What channels are they following on YouTube? Okay, knowing the YouTube channels as well. Okay, so YouTube channels. What keywords are they searching for in Google to find information? Okay, what are the keywords? What are all the, this is one that I spent a lot of time on because I did a lot of research and made a list of more than 50, I'd say, for some of my products. But you want to get clear, what do people actually search for related to your product? What would they search for in Google? What would they search for in Amazon? What would they search for in YouTube? Maybe there's a little bit different. And oftentimes you can start with one keyword and then put it in the search bar and YouTube, Google, or Amazon, and they'll auto-suggest other additional keywords that people do search for. That will give you more clarity. That's providing opportunity, by the way, for you to create your own blog post and rank them in Google. For you to, you know, put out YouTube videos and rank them for those keywords. Or for you to run advertisements on Google or YouTube for those keywords to get in front of people. Okay, so those are the questions that I have for you that I want you to take note of and spend time with. Now, I went through it pretty fast because I want to dive into questions that you guys have. But I do recommend watching the recording of this to go back through this, spend some time getting crystal clear on this. And it's not that it'll be perfect. It never will be. You always evolve it over time. But I really encourage you to take time to do this, because if you spend a whole day doing this, you're going to become so well educated on your market, on your niche. You're going to know your competition. You're going to know more about your customer. You're going to have so many ideas to market your product, how to get in front of people, the keywords that they're searching for, the phrases, the pain, the pleasure. It'll give you what you need to then determine, based on everything you've witnessed and observed in this day of doing this, right? You're going to be like, okay, out of everything I saw and witnessed and what I know, where should I start? What's the one that I should pick that I feel most confident in, that seemed to be the most evident of where my audience, where my ideal customer is congregating right now? And then you start with that, and now you've got all these great examples that you can model and learn from that can be inspiration for you on what you can also do to get in front of those same people as well. Okay, so that's this exercise, guys, is a marketing exercise. It's something that's so important for everybody. Russell Brunson, by the way, in this book, says that if you were to pay him $100,000 for a consulting day, which is what he charges for one day of consulting, this is the first thing that you do. So to save yourself $100,000, paying someone like him or even paying someone like me, we're giving this to you here. That's how powerful this is. That's why it's not like this is like, oh, it's not sexy. There's no marketing tactic here. No, you got to understand this is something the top marketers in the world would tell you to do. And if you're not doing it, that concerns me about your business, that you're not taking it seriously enough and diving deep enough into your niche and market to get really clear on how you can best serve them. So with that said, hopefully that's beneficial to you guys. I know how beneficial it is when you do it, but hopefully you perceive it that way. I'm trying to communicate how powerful this really is. But with that said, let's dive into questions. So listen, if you have any questions for me, please let me know. Post it here in the chat. I'm going to pull up questions that people sent in advance as well. So give me one sec here, guys. It actually logged me out. Okay. So here's a question I have here from Suji. Hi, Stefan. Sometimes when I do my keyword research, I find out that many popular titles don't say specific dishes, but rather general things like vegan snacks or vegan recipes. Nevertheless, I want to create a video around those topics. I need to create a bigger number of dishes just for one video. My question is, if I want to save time, would it be convenient to retake previous videos I already made and just put them together? Or would it be better to create 3 or 5 new videos specifically for one post? Okay, great question. So I assume you're more referencing YouTube. And with this, you're trying to target certain keywords that someone would search for in YouTube. Now, it's important to understand that depending on the niche, there are certain keywords that someone's going to search for that are very broad. They're kind of short tail keywords that might be 1 or 2 or 3 words. They're more broad, more generic. And then there's others that are long tail. They'll be very specific. Now, the more specific you get, even though there's people searching for it, most likely, it's going to have a lot less search volume. So a lot less people are going to search for things that are longer phrases and more specific. And so while you can really target someone in a really great way, you're just going to get a lot less attention and eyeballs on that. But when you're first starting, you don't have an audience, you kind of have to go a little bit more specific at first, where it's less competitive, and get in front of those people, build your audience on YouTube, and then you can target more of the competitive short tail keywords. Now, it doesn't mean, though, you shouldn't do short tail keywords, okay? So, for example, you mentioned, you know, vegan snacks and vegan recipes. It's not, I mean, that's more general, vegan recipe, vegan snack. People are looking for that, but it's not specific in, you know, a type of recipe or a type of snack. So I think there's still opportunity that you should still do videos and content for those, but just know that's going to be a little bit harder for you to rank those videos and get attention, because there's probably a lot of other videos, more established YouTube channels that are already ranking, getting traffic for those topics. So you should do a little bit of both. Okay, try to be a bit more specific and more tailored to someone, so that when someone's searching and they see that, they're like, oh, that type of snack, a chocolate snack. I love chocolate. Boom, I love that. Versus they might be more likely to click on that and even search for a chocolate snack or a dairy-free snack or you know, gluten-free, sugar-free, whatever it is. You know, you can be a little bit more specific there. And even though it might get less views, it'll be more targeted. So you want to play around with that a little bit. So the question that you had, so if you want to save time, would it be more convenient to retake previous videos already made and put them together, or be better to create 3 or 5 new videos specifically for one post? So I don't know why you'd put all for one post. I think you're referring to like maybe a list of a type, like several different vegan snacks or recipes. I think it's probably better to do one video or one post just dedicated to one recipe or one snack. You could do some that's like seven vegan snacks, or here's seven, you know, my favorite vegan snacks, or sugar-free vegan snacks, or something like that. But I would go more specific into some recipes, I think, in one individual post. And then you're going to have to, part of the answer here too is you got to experiment and test things as well to see what's going to work. You know, part of being a content creator is throwing shit against the wall and you see what sticks. And so in some ways, what I'd recommend is spend a weekend, spend some time creating a lot of content, a lot of videos, and publish it out over a period of time. And when you do that, when you put out 50 videos, okay, you're going to see from that which ones connect with people, which ones take off, which ones get views, which ones don't. And that's kind of how you're going to know what's working and where your audience is going to come from. And so there is a bit of an experimentation phase when you're first starting your channel that you're going to have to do that with. And the same thing goes with Instagram, Facebook. You've got to look at the data that all these platforms give you and then analyze it to determine what's working, what's not. So for me, when I started my YouTube channel, I started with self-development, but I put out a video on fitness. I did another video on sharing my goals, another video on changing the belief systems, another video of a course I was going through and reviewing that, another video on a 30-day challenge that I was committing to, another video on my morning ritual, another video on how to be a life coach because I had some experience with that. And I saw, okay, all these different topics I published. Oh, hey, this one really took off, my morning ritual. A lot of people are interested in that. That video went on to get hundreds of thousands of views when I first started. And many of my videos get no views, but some of them took off. And that gave me indicators of what I should do more of and what I should focus on. And I built an audience from that that I could learn more about and better serve. So there's a phase when you're starting that you have to play around a little bit. Okay. Now, the benefit that you have when you're first starting creating content is because at first, when you put out a video, you make a post online, you don't have any followers. Most people aren't going to see it. That means that you can repost that later as well. So if you put out a video, didn't get any views, okay, you can still use that video. Repost it a few weeks later, a month later, if it hasn't done much for you. Repost it, but repost it under a different title. Maybe the subject line or the title of the video didn't really perform then. So I'm going to put out that same video, but change the title, change the keyword a little bit, okay? Or I'm going to change the thumbnail a little bit. And you have the luxury of doing that when you're starting because you don't have any subscribers. You don't have an audience. See, I can't do that at the stage that I'm in now. And it's kind of a huge advantage for you, a disadvantage for me. Because for me, if I put out a video, thousands of people will see it because I've got an audience that will, you know, people will go and watch that video. If I post that same video 3 weeks from now, people are going to be like, Stefan, you posted this 3 weeks ago. Why are you posting this again? And they're not going to like that. But when you get zero subscribers, nobody knows. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter. You have that ability to repurpose your content a little bit more and play around with the keywords and the title and all those different parts of it, the thumbnail, and reuse it a little bit more because you don't have that subscriber base. When you start to build a subscriber base, your standards have to go up. They have to be consistent because now you have people that expect a level of quality and a level of, you know, a certain level of value that they get from you. When you're first starting, you don't have that. You can play around and get away with a lot more. And you can kind of accelerate things in some ways by doing that. Great question. Okay. So here's another question I have. This is from Julie. She says, thank you very much for your supportive and amazing content. I'm preparing to start in the fall my YouTube channel and blog, and I was wondering if you had any tips and tricks so that I could build and reproduce my content from one format to another. For example, I would like to convert all my videos to both a podcast and written articles. So is it better in this case to build the structure of my videos based first on the structure of my written articles, or to build my articles based on the structure of my videos? I don't have any experience in content creation. I would like to find a smart way to simplify my task. I don't want to work in double for each of my content since it's already a big job for me to start a video blog. Big thanks and awesome. Great. Awesome, Julie. Great question. Now, Here is what I'd recommend if you're just starting, especially with content. Pick one. Pick one platform to start, because otherwise you're going to make it too overwhelming for you and you're going to dilute your focus. I would pick, personally, YouTube. I think YouTube is the most powerful platform out of everything, because if you think about it, people that watch YouTube videos, they have their full attention. They're looking at you. They can see your expressions. They look in your eyes. They connect with you a lot more. And you can really repurpose that video as a blog post and a podcast. But doing that right now, in my opinion, might be a little bit overwhelming for you. But YouTube, compared to a podcast or a blog, a podcast, people are just listening to you and they can't see you. And so most times people, they don't have their full attention on you. They're driving their car, they're at the gym, they're doing other things, and you don't have as much of their attention, even though you can be still be great. You know, podcasts are great. You can do really well with that. It's just not as powerful as a YouTube channel, as powerful as video is. And then a blog, people can skim through it. They can't hear you. They can't see you. There's people that love reading blog posts, but they're not going to connect with you as much as they will for a YouTube video. Now, all of them are effective, but if you were to ask me what's the most effective, the most powerful, I would say YouTube. And like I said, it gives you the ability to repurpose. Now, the reason why I said pick one is that to be successful just with one of those, it's going to take a lot. It's a lot of, you know, to be successful on YouTube, you got to put a lot of focus into that. You've got to, you know, really create great videos. You've got to really, you know what people are searching for, and your titles for videos on YouTube are going to be maybe different than the titles you use on your blog and even on your podcast. You got to get really good at thumbnails, your description, optimizing it, all of that. And there's a lot that goes into just getting that successful. The same thing with a blog. A blog is, you know, can be a full-time thing to really get great at, to learn SEO and optimizing, to track everything, go back and re-optimize your blog post to see where it's ranking and get backlinks to it, all of that. And the same thing with podcasts. Each one of those things is, I'd much rather see you just master one and get really great at that, and put your attention into that, rather than putting 30% of your time here, 30% of your time there, 30% of your time there. I'd much rather 100% into that one thing. And so I would pick one, get really great at that. And then as you're doing that, then you can still have a blog and the podcast, but I wouldn't worry about that too much just yet. To take the YouTube video, turn it to a blog post, you would have to either transcribe it, which is going to cost money. And for every video, depending on the length of it, it might cost $10, $20 or more. So you're going to be mindful of that. But then you're also going to have to spend time to rewrite it to make it more readable and maybe SEO, you know, search engine optimized. That's going to take you time as well. You know, so that's going to be something that I'd much rather see you put that time back into your YouTube channel, getting really great at that, than diluting your focus, spending time on that, where you might not get as much benefit from that. Now, the podcast is a little bit easier. If you just take the audio, put it up on a podcast, and you could do that. I mean, that could be a lot simpler, I'd say, than the blog post. But to be honest, I would focus on the YouTube, build that up, and then you still have the option 3 months from now, 6 months from now, say, okay, I've got this YouTube stuff down. I'm getting some traffic, subscribers from it. Okay, now let's add the blog and the podcast. And then you can just take all those episodes that you already created on YouTube, and now you can then repurpose them in that way. And then even, you know, beyond that, if you want to take it for your Instagram, create clips from that, you can even hire people to do that for you. But the reason why I say pick one first so that you have success with that, and then do these other pieces later. Okay, do them later. Because even though you're repurposing it, the blog post and the podcast isn't going to be exactly the same as how great it should be, because it is still kind of taking it from YouTube. I do that, by the way, and you should do that eventually. But it's, I have a team of people that help me with it. But for me, my time and focus is on YouTube. And then my team's time is, and focus is on the podcast, the blog, and then the social media. If I had to do the blog, the podcast, the social media, it would take away from YouTube for me, and that really hurt me in a lot of ways. So I'd much rather double down on YouTube, get really great at that, and then have everything, build that up so I can have a team of people that can then support me, virtual assistants that can help do those other pieces for me. All right. All right. I see one more question here, guys. If there's no more questions you guys have, we're going to wrap this up soon. So last chance, post any questions you have for me here in the chat so they can answer them for you. Do you recommend this is from Paul. Paul says, do you recommend focusing on building a personal brand or a business brand name? Most of the successful people that I follow are known as themselves through coaching, mentoring, or creating various pieces of content. However, I look up to you as a mentor and discovered you initially through your brand, Project Life Mastery. What are your thoughts on this? Thanks. Great, Paul. Great question. So it really depends what your goal is. It depends what your long-term goal is for your business, what your vision is for that. See, for me, there's pros and cons to each, okay? A personal brand is something that people can connect to a lot more because they connect and they relate to you. And any content creator, you're automatically building a personal brand. In fact, you already have one. If people follow you on Facebook, people know your name, they know you, Paul, you have a personal brand. Because a brand is just a name that a mass amount of people recognize and associate emotion to. Now, maybe only 10 people know you, okay, and that's your audience. Maybe 100 people know you on Facebook. Maybe that's your audience. Maybe thousands or maybe millions, okay? Everyone's brand reach and presence is different. But you are a brand, I'm a brand, everybody is a brand, okay? Just our brand reach is different. Now, people associate thoughts and feelings to that brand. That's what marketers and advertisers obsess over doing. When I think of, you know, when I think of Apple, for example, if I were to throw out that name, what thoughts and feelings does the market have when they think of that brand? Well, they think cool, they think innovative, they think quality, they think the best. You know, there's emotions and thoughts and feelings that they associate to it. If I were to throw out the name Coca-Cola, okay, what do people think and feel? You know, there's a lot of pleasure associated to it. You know, the taste of it, the, you know, positivity, warmth, family, connection. Those are all things that they run advertisements to associate those feelings to your brand. It's no different, for example, when they hire Mike, you know, this is with Pepsi, actually. They hired Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, people associate feelings and emotions to him and his music. And he's dancing in the commercial. He's singing on the commercial. People are feeling good. And then they flash the product Pepsi. Now, consumers associating those emotions to now the brand Pepsi. That's how advertising branding works. So there's benefits of a personal brand, and you're going to build that no matter what. But there's a downside to it, which is that your business is 100% dependent on you. If you stop creating content, if you stop doing your thing, coaching, whatever it is, your business no longer survives. And so it's not really a business with an exit plan. You can't exit out of that. It's not something you could ever sell. It's not something that you'll have a hard time scaling because there's only one of you and there's only so much that you can do. So it can definitely be a very successful business and great, you should still do it. The reason why, though, I built Project Life Mastery, and there's many other examples of brands like that. There's Mind Valley, there's Founder, there's many other brands that are not based just on a person. The benefit of that is that that's a business that doesn't have to depend on me long term. So with me, with Project Life Mastery, part of my vision is I'd like to bring in other experts, other personal brands underneath that umbrella. So I might want to bring in relationship coaches and business coaches and health coaches and experts, and they could all create content and contribute to it. They could create their own courses under my brand, and we could communicate that to people. I mean, amazing.com does that. They've got courses for people. ClickFunnels even does that as well. They have different faces and people underneath that brand, not just Russell Brunson. So for me, that gave me more of an ability to scale my business. If I want to take a step back from it, maybe I don't want to be involved as much, I could do that. A great company that does this as well is in the dating niche, Real Social Dynamics. It's a dating coaching business for men, and they've got different faces of that brand underneath it that are each kind of personal brands. So for me, that's a benefit of that is I can build something that there's other faces in it, not just me. It's not dependent on me, and it's something I could sell one day if I wanted to. It has value. It's an actual asset versus I can never really sell myself. So it's something that I can build it up and I could eventually sell it to someone. They could take it over if they wanted to. T. Harv Eker did this with his brand, the Millionaire Mind. Peak Potentials is the brand name, but they put on seminars, Millionaire Mind Intensive, and a variety of others as first based on T. Harv Eker. But then what he did is he brought in other speakers. They had a script for the seminar, brought in other speakers, and he was able to sell that business. He still has his personal brand, but everything he built was an asset that you could sell. So it really depends on what your goal is, Paul. I started with that purpose because I have a long-term vision that it meets with that. And I found that by building my company name around that, I could also simultaneously build my personal brand and have both and have them kind of leverage each other in that way. So there's pros and cons to each, but you just have to decide what direction, what vision you have for your business. And that's why it's really important, guys, to get clarity on that, to get clear on your vision. I've shared that before with you guys in other trainings, is to spend that time to know what your vision is. I know what my vision is for Project Life Mastery, and I know what my vision is for my life as well. And, you know, I know where I want to be 10, 20, 30 years from now. And that's something that you might want to look at and consider, because when you know what your vision is, your decisions today are based on, are they moving closer towards that vision or further away? And that's what's really important. I want to make sure that all of my daily decisions are moving me closer towards that vision. They're helping me progress towards that ultimate vision for my life and my business. And when you get clear on that, it's a lot easier to make those decisions day to day. All right. Okay, so a question here from Jazzy. Hey, Jazzy. There's an influencer who is big on Instagram but new to YouTube. She has millions of followers, asking her to type for the type of content I'm already making. How can I approach them to show them my channel? Let me read that again. So she's on Instagram, but she's new to YouTube. She has millions of followers, asking her for type of content. Well, I think, Jazzy, I think first you got to really get clear, you know, what's this person's strategy for their business? How do they make money from their audience? Do they advertise their own products? Or, you know, would your product be in direct competition with what they're promoting or advertising? You know, if it is, that could be a concern. If it's complementary, then that could be very successful and work well. But, you know, influencers, you got to understand, if they have a big audience, they're getting people that approach them all the time, because people want to get in front of them. So they're getting pitched all the time. People are approaching them and they're kind of used to it. And so really the best thing that you want to do is just to reach out and say, hey, I have a product that, you know, I think would be a great fit for your audience. I want to reach out, see what your rates are that you charge, or if there's any opportunity to do a collaboration together. You have to really take a step back and think, how can I add value to this person? You don't want to go in trying to take anything. Okay. You want to go on seeing, okay, what are their goals? What can I offer them that would incentivize and motivate them to want to promote my product or want to promote me or my brand or my channel, whatever it is. So you got to take a step back and make an offer that's irresistible to them. One thing actually Russell Brunson shared in this book that he did is he wanted to get in front of Tony Robbins, and he found out with Tony, and what he did for Tony first is he just tried to add value to him. He promoted Tony's book. He supported him. He tried to get on his radar. And he just gave before he made an ask. And the ask that he made was for him to promote and interview Russell on his Facebook to promote his newest book. And so I really believe in that. I'm an influencer and I got a lot of people that reach out to me, but the ones that actually I respond to and I, you know, stand out are the ones that try to add value to me and make an offer or reach out, inquire, hey, they're willing to pay, they're willing to make it a win for me, rather than trying to get something from me. So every influencer is going to be a little bit different. The more you can research them and find out what their values and their goals are, that helps. You know, for me with Tony Robbins, one of the ways I've been able to connect with him is I know his values and his vision. For him, it's not money. Money doesn't motivate him. I mean, I'm sure it still does, but a big purpose for him is to give back and help people and feed families and whatnot through Feeding America. You know, save, you know, kids and women from sex trafficking. And so I made donations to his charity and I supported him and promoted his brand and his name. And that's what got me on his radar, because I was in alignment that this is a person, what he wants right now, he wants to help people, reach people, build his brand and feed people. And so I supported him with that. And that's how I got into his radar in alignment, by giving first before I opened up other doors as well. All right. And, you know, sometimes you got to follow up a few times too, right? Because they're busy. So don't be afraid to follow up. Hey, just want to follow up, you know, a few weeks later, comment on their YouTube videos, right? And, you know, so they recognize their name, comment on their Instagram as well, again and again. And that's how you can get their attention over time. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it could take months or even years to really get in front of that person to get their time and attention. I've, you know, heard many different stories of that with people. You know, there's this one guy, Omar, who's got a YouTube channel, a podcast called The Passionate Few. And he interviewed me, and he's a really awesome guy. He's really built his channel. But he started, he had zero subscribers, and he was just trying to get in front of the top people. And he would just consistently comment on their stuff, watch their stories, engage. And then eventually he'd like comment on their Instagram, hey, check your DM, or, you know, just try to get their attention in some way. And eventually he was able to. He showed me a story. He got Grant Cardone on his podcast, which helped them grow it a lot. He was following Grant Cardone on his Instagram story, and Grant Cardone was at a restaurant. So he drove out to the restaurant, waited outside. When Grant came out, he pitched him on interviewing for his podcast, and he got the interview. That built his channel's audience more than anything else he could have done. So that's why you've got to be creative and resourceful at times. And if you really want to grow things fast, that's what it requires, is creativity and doing things different than other people would. Okay. All right, guys. Thank you so much. I don't see any other questions coming in. So thank you guys for your time. Always a pleasure to connect with you. And I want to make sure you guys apply what I've shared with you today. So spend that time doing that so you get clear on your business or ideal customer and then form your marketing strategy from it. So hope you're doing well. Continue making progress. Continue taking action. And I look forward to seeing you again soon. Take care.